You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Kings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
All right, Purple Daily on draft. Oh boy, it has been a week in Vikings land since the last time us three were able to talk to you guys. We recorded an episode going into free agency, and now, obviously, the Vikings have said goodbye to Kirk Cousins. They've acquired more draft picks. They've acquired more roster players. So many things have happened, obviously, in the last week, so we're excited to talk about it. But let's probably start here, boys, since we're Purple Daily on draft, and we take the NFL draft and talk about it year-round. Let's talk about the headline that came out on Friday with the Vikings acquiring a second first-round pick from the Houston Texans. So now the Vikings have two picks in the first round. The plans are starting to formulate here. Forno, what do you think here? With 11 and 23, does this still mean the Vikings would have to give up a future first-round pick? Is that off the table for you to having to do that? They have two picks to move up, but that probably won't just be the only thing to get them to move up, but it definitely helps them. Where do you kind of assess the Vikings' draft plans of moving up the board with now two first-round picks in their disposal?
Well, let's start here. Current assets are better than future assets, and that's how NFL teams view them. The general rule of thought when you're looking at these trade charts is if you send a first-round pick in a future year, you have to minus a round per every year out you send it. So you can only send 2 years out. So if you send a 2025 first, it's valued at a second. And the way I do it is I value it at the middle of a round because it's just average. You don't necessarily know how good or bad a team is going to be. Unless a team is blatantly tanking, then you can probably assume it's at the beginning of that round. But just for ease sake and consistency, I do it in the middle. So if you send a 2026 first, it's valued at a third round pick. So when you're looking at charts like the Rich Hill, which is built specifically around how about trades in the past have worked and how the compensation has been utilized to try and create a historical model for future projection. So what I did for Vikings Wire is I did this back in January and then I reformulated everything with the new trade. I think the reason the Vikings ended up getting that first round pick this year at 23 is because now they have a ton more ammo theoretically than they would have just by sending future picks. So now if you want to go to five, the Rich Hill trade chart for five is it's like some of these projections aren't going to necessarily work out because look, you have the quarterback tax, you have teams not necessarily wanting to give up a ton, but the Rich Hill trade chart, an equal trade would be the Vikings sending 11, 23 and 108 to get picks 5 and 37 back. There's no way the Chargers are going to send you 37. If you're going to give them 11, 23, and a fourth, that's just not realistic, but that's even.
Come on, Harbaugh.
30. That's what the trade chart says. The likely trade is just 11 and 23. Maybe the Chargers would throw in something like 105 because you are giving up significant assets as the Vikings, but they're not going to give you a second round pick. And that's where understanding what the chart says versus what reality says is going to give you a little bit of a more clear picture, because there's a quarterback tax. There is, hey, I'm at pick five. You want to come up here. It's going from pick 30 to pick 20. 30 to 20, you're probably giving up a second, maybe a fourth. You're not giving up another first to go up from 30 to 20. The Saints gave up a first going from 27 to 14, but that's almost half a round.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of look at some of those things in a vacuum. And I detailed over 10 years of the different trade packages to get up into the top 10 or movement in the top 10 to try and see, hey, what is consistent, what is not. And what I found is, if, like, if the Vikings want to go to three, it's probably just going to be three first round picks. And because you have two this year, you probably won't have to send a day two pick in a future year to be able to make that work. And if they only have to go up to five to get that quarterback in the future, you still have a first round pick next year. And that's a massive win for the future of the Vikings.
So, Miles, if the price of poker to get up to five or three is, though, that the Chargers or the Patriots are saying hard of, we'll get those two first round picks for this year, that's fine, but we still want next year's first. Is that a non-starter then for you? Or if you want May, or if you wanted McCarthy, you're still willing to maybe even give up a little extra to pay that extra quarterback tax, that extra tax of poker, basically, to get all the way up there. Is that a non-starter for you, or you'd be okay with still giving up a future first round pick to do so?
To get to three, I probably would. To five, probably not. I think because if you get to five, then you're probably looking at the fourth quarterback. And I think my opinion on how the Vikings are doing it is it's going to be tiered, right? They're going to have their quarterbacks and their prospects in their tiers. I don't know how they're going to have them layered, but I guarantee that fourth quarterback might still be in a like top 10 like range tier, but might not be worth spending all that capital to move up to go get. Just because they need a quarterback doesn't mean they're going to spend everything they have to go get every single quarterback available. They probably have their like price points for each guy that they'd be willing to go trade up for. So like for me, if at three at least gives you more flexibility to guarantee you two of those four guys rather than just one. Whereas if it's just one guy left, like it doesn't mean you don't want to go get that guy, but the price for, like you said, for poker is going to be a lot different than it is to get to three because there's one guy left, not two or three. And so for me, I think it just varies that way. I wouldn't spend to get to five. I wouldn't spend that future first to get up to five. I would probably spend it to get to three because I have more flexibility at that spot than I do at five. And for me, I'd rather have Drake May, and I'd rather trade up all that, you know, capital for Drake May than J.J. McCarthy. Not that I wouldn't trade up for J.J. McCarthy, yep, because I think at this point he's probably cemented himself in that top four, you know, QB range. I can't guarantee he'll be a top 10 pick. We never know, but it really feels like he's kind of put himself in that conversation. So I would probably at a point, any of those top four, let me get them, but I'm not willing to pay whatever it costs for all four of those guys, if that makes sense.
So, Forno, it kind of also feels like they made this first trade. If they were to make a second pre-draft trade, it would be three or bust, right? Like, if they wouldn't trade up to five or four, because then that obviously still leaves a potential gap for Giants or maybe Broncos. I don't know if they'll have the capital, but it puts you in a vulnerable spot, right, if you made all those moves, and then all of a sudden some other team comes in at the last second that's open for business that wants to go up there. So if they were to do a pre-draft trade, it's probably three, correct?
It could be four. It all depends on how the Vikings view this quarterback class.
Uh-huh.
If when the 49ers traded up in 21, and I think this is going to be the example that you lean on, they were comfortable enough with three guys being taken at that spot for the capital that they gave up. If you are comfortable with three guys, you go to three. If you are comfortable with all four, you can go to four. Because if it's all about what you want. There's only one guy out of this group that you believe is the franchise guy, you have to wait till draft day. Or you go to one. You can't take that risk. Hey, I'm going to trade up to five. Oh, the Cardinals just traded back with the Broncos. Oh, all top four quarterbacks are gone. Now I'm stuck with Marvin Harrison Jr., which, let's be real, that would be pretty cool. But you didn't solve quarterback, and you give up a lot to try and solve that problem. You can't make a trade unless you're guaranteeing yourself somebody that you really want to bring in your building.
I think the one thing the Vikings did too with this early trade is they positioned themselves to be involved in all those conversations.
Yeah.
So obviously the Vikings aren't going to be the only team calling to trade up for a quarterback, but they're going to be involved in those conversations because at the end of the day, whether it's the Cardinals, Patriots, Chargers, I doubt Washington, but we'll add them to the mix. Any of those teams are willing to move backwards. they're going to have the Vikings in the conversation because the Vikings have the best to offer. They have two current first-round picks to offer in a return for any of those positions. So any team wants to create a bidding war, the Vikings are going to be involved in that bidding war. And so the Vikings are not going to be left out on any scenario of a trade-up. So I think the Vikings have now time to be a little bit more patient because of that. The Broncos don't have more to offer than the Vikings to trade up.
Yep.
The Raiders don't have more than the Vikings to offer to trade up. The Giants probably do, but like if the Giants really want to trade up, then I think the Vikings can really do anything besides maybe offer that future first again, right? Like it's just all about what the price of poker is. But I think the Vikings really did what they did is put themselves in a strong position in that negotiation for any team that's willing to trade back to say, hey, we have two of the best assets to offer you right now to trade up. So don't leave us out of the conversation. If you're having these conversations with other teams, we want to be involved and we want to, you know, be able to give you our best offer to move up to whatever spot that is. But it gives the Vikings time to be patient to hear what those other offers from other teams could be, because maybe it does slightly lower the price because no other team's willing to really go up because they know they can't outbid you for it.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So, Miles, do you think patience then is good for the Vikings, that maybe even letting the board potentially play out? Or like, if let's say the draft starts and there wasn't a trade up yet, right, to 3 or 5, but the draft board then starts to play out a little bit here, is patience probably then still on the Vikings side to maybe wait this out? And if they do jump up to 5, or maybe they jump up to 6, or I don't think they jump up with 6 with the Giants, but they would jump up maybe with 7 or 8, is patience probably then on their side to kind of maybe let the draft board play out before you make a, you know, first gun shy, first bullet trade before the draft happens then?
Well, I think the biggest thing the Vikings have to do is do their homework on where they view teams and what teams want to do. Are the Giants really positioning themselves to actually try to trade up to get hypothetically JJ McCarthy or quarterback in general? Are they really being aggressive to do it? If the Vikings don't feel like they are, based off their intel and everything they're hearing, maybe it's a smokescreen just for the Giants to try to position themselves in a spot to get one of like a Marvin Harrison Jr. or a Rome Odunze. What if they're trying to do that? For all we know, we don't know what they're trying to really do. So I think the Vikings need to really gauge the market to see where that sits. What if the Giants truly want a quarterback or not? Because that's where it pivots. That's where the draft really pivots at that point with the Giants. If the Giants don't want it, then the Vikings have a little more time to be patient. And like I said, I believe all these teams that might be willing to trade back are going to have the Vikings within that conversation of like, here, give me your best offer, and kind of make their decisions on that bidding war to move up. So if it's the Giants, the Vikings, Broncos, the Vikings are going to be in that mix, and the Vikings are going to have an opportunity to match or even exceed the Giants or any other team. So I think it starts with the Giants and understanding what the Giants want to do at 6. Obviously, you'll never fully know until they get there. But if you're not willing to risk it, then yeah, you got to jump. You got to jump them and not be as patient. But if you're willing to risk it because maybe you don't feel like you want to spend as much to go get a McCarthy at 5 or 4, then I think that's one thing you're going to have to kind of play out.
So Forno, you laid out the path too of what happens if the trade up possibilities don't happen, or maybe other teams jump up. Basically, not the doomsday situation, but what if trading up is, you know, not on the cards for the Vikings? Lay out that plan. What would that potentially look like if the Vikings aren't able to move up in the draft and some other one bids them out?
Look, this isn't a conversation anybody wants to have. It's a conversation we'll probably never have to have, but it's good to understand what the options are. Let's say the top 4 quarterbacks go, the Vikings can't move up, and they're stuck at 11 and 23. What do you do? Do they believe in Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. enough? Let's just say they don't, and they only believe in those top 4 guys. You're stuck in a really bad situation, and you need to try and figure out how you're going to best improve this football team. And the best way to do it is to just take good football players, and you can figure everything out later. Yes, quarterback is the most important, but you do have a guy in Sam Darnold who has a lot of talent. Can you extract enough out of him to get a Case Keenum 2017 season and be able to have a good enough team around him to be able to make a run, make a splash? All of these are hypotheticals, but you have to understand when you make moves like this, you have to be prepared for those hypotheticals. And the hypothetical that nobody ends up willing to trade with you and you get stuck without a quarterback is something you have to be prepared for. I had the Vikings taking in the first round Alabama cornerback Terrion Arnold and Penn State edge Chop Robinson. Their players 3 and 4 on my board, and I think they're just tremendous, both athletes and skill players on the defensive side of the football. And if you're going to figure out a way to continue to build out this team, you go after premium positions and you go after players who can be exceptional. And I think that's what Arnold and Chop would have to offer. This is a doomsday scenario. You don't get a quarterback. And that would really, really suck. And I don't think that's what's going to end up happening. But it's good to explore these situations to prepare yourself for what could happen. And then when it does, you at least, okay, we're getting two really, really good football players in here that can help the defense. Maybe it's not so bad. It still sucks, but maybe it's not so bad after all.
So, Miles, would you be upset if it's just, hey, the two first round picks and let's call it another defensive tackle maybe at 11 and a cornerback or someone else, just two non-quarterbacks with their first round picks? And the Vikings, obviously, I mean, they have holes in the roster, so it's not completely out of the question that, hey, using two first round resources isn't necessarily the worst thing. But how would your reaction be if they ended up using these two first round picks at 11 and 23, but none of them go to quarterback?
I'd be pretty upset. I feel like a lot of fans would be. And I think I said this a while back when they had pick 42. I said, the Vikings with one of their first two picks, quarterback needs to be within that range. They got to find a way to get a quarterback. Obviously, they need to like that quarterback enough to take them. So I'm not sitting here saying just take a quarterback just to take for the sake of taking a quarterback. But I'd be pretty upset if the board, they did all this trade up and they weren't able to gauge the market enough to be able to get whether it's the fourth quarterback, third quarterback, whatever it is, and having to kind of wait and hope that I got. But at that case, too, I would want them to trade back from probably one of those picks at that point. Like, I'm not saying it has to. It obviously depends on how the board falls. But I think at that point, you've used a lot of resources to get that extra first round pick. But like, the players obviously have to be worth it to take it at that 11 and 23. But maybe there's an opportunity to trade back and recoup some of that day two capital that you kind of gave up to move up to 23 or something like that. Maybe it's an opportunity to get a future pick back, you know, just to help you get a quarterback next year. Like, these are all these conversations I think the Vikings are having because they have to. Like Forno said, you lay out all these different scenarios because you don't get to control what everyone else does. You can only control what you do in your situation. And so if it's not a quarterback, I think there's going to be a lot of discussion around trading back and trying to recoup some of that draft capital that they gave up in hopes to get that, probably most likely get that quarterback.
And you're good too if Forno, in the event of a trade up, and let's say that happens, are you good with not making another pick till 108 or 129 or basically the fourth round? Like, are you good with the Vikings going up to 4 or 5 or 3, 4, 5 to get the quarterback, but then they will not have another draft pick most likely until day 3 of the draft?
Yes and no. I'd be disappointed because I think that day two, early to mid day two range has a lot of really talented guys that I would absolutely love to have on the Minnesota Vikings. But if they hit on quarterback, nothing matters. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care how many picks that they make in this draft. If they hit on that quarterback and that quarterback is a franchise guy, something this team arguably hasn't had since Fran Tarkenton, you can make arguments for Kirk Cousins. You can make arguments for Dante Culpepper. But we know that the issues that Culpepper had with the fumbling, and then he kept getting dinged up, and then that massive knee injury kind of cratered everything. And Kirk Cousins, half the world didn't think he was a franchise guy, and it never felt like there was any form of like, hey, real consistency or real faith and belief that this team was going to truly make a run with him. So if you find that guy who can be the first true franchise guy that's unanimous since Fran Tarkenton, I don't care how many picks they make. They hit it. That's all that matters. Now you spend the next 3, 4 years continuing to build around that guy. The infrastructure's there. They have the best infrastructure outside of the Chiefs because the Chiefs have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and just a great offensive line with that infrastructure to truly build and develop a guy. They don't need to do that. They have Mahomes, so it doesn't really matter. The Vikings have a phenomenal infrastructure. Bookend tackles, the best wide receiver in football, an emerging weapon on the outside in Jordan Addison. When Hockenson comes back, he'll be healthy. Now you put Aaron Jones in the backfield, who's still playing at a high level despite being 29 years old, and a defense that is improving rapidly. It's a great infrastructure. So then something I was talking about with my friend JP Acosta of SB Nation. Situation matters a lot. What if Darnold went to a good situation 7 years ago when he was taken in 2018? Like, he had all the talent in the world, and Mel Kiper, who's been doing this since the late 70s, said he was like the third highest graded quarterback he'd ever graded outside of Andrew Luck and John Elway. I still think that's a little absurd, but that's very, very high praise.
Yeah.
What happens if Patrick Mahomes goes to a dumpster fire? What happens if he goes to Chicago? Does he ever become the player that he is today? Like, situation matters so much, especially with quarterback, that when you have a good one, it gives you a lot more confidence that they're going to be able to make it happen.
Miles, which one of these free agent additions have you been most excited about? Obviously, we can get into Kirk's departure here towards the end of this, but of the additions that they've made a ton of them so far. Which one probably excites you the most?
Well, it's probably the obvious ones. I think I was always open to the idea of letting Danielle Hunter walk if you had to. I think it was smart for the Vikings not to do a basically 2-year fully guaranteed deal for Hunter. As good as he is, as great as he is, I wanted him back. The Vikings kind of cut themselves off of like, hey, we're no longer giving out fully guaranteed multi-year deals like that to players. Like, it's just not a part of our business, at least until we'll see until a JJ extension happens. But for Hunter and Cousins, it really felt like they had a limit and they weren't going past that limit. And they hit that limit with both those guys. So for me, it was kind of getting both Van Ginkle and Grenard for the price of one Danielle Hunter. I think that in itself was a really good, like, if you're going to move on from Hunter, you kind of turn yourself into a best case scenario of moving on from Hunter with getting those two guys at their price point. I think Van Ginkle it was like $14.4 million fully guaranteed on a 2-year $20 million deal. I thought that was a steal. I know he's going to be 29, but this guy's been super productive. Maybe some injuries here and there, but overall been super productive, and he's been in this system before. I think that's really valuable. To have a guy for Brian Flores, to have a guy come in that knows your system, can come in and help those guys and lead the way in that, is super important. So I'm really excited to kind of see how and more flexible, because I think the one thing that you also got with Grenard and Van Ginkle is both guys are like versatile, but they're like wildly athletic. They're a little bit more like your true outside linebackers. Whereas like Danielle Hunter is just an absolute freak that just happened to be able to be really good at doing stand up outside linebacker, defensive end type of position, who's just a super freak to be able to do it. But they really now get like true two outside linebackers that can work in space and in coverage a little bit more than what they kind of had before. So I'm excited to see what those guys can do, but I think they're really going to help fortify this defense.
You know what's funny is, and Judd pointed this out because he went to the press conferences on Thursday when they introduced all these guys, is Jonathan Grenard is 6'3", 263 pounds, like just a mammoth, humongous, athletic human being, and it looks like a pencil compared to Danielle Hunter. Like, this Grenard was one of the best pass rushers in football last year, kind of low key, and you put him next to Danielle Hunter to be like, there's no way that guy's nearly as good as this guy, right? Like, no, he pretty much was. So
we're playing the same position,
thing, doing the exact same job every day. But you look at Danielle Hunter, and I think Pat McAfee had the line like a few months ago, like, if you had to plop a couple different humans to fight the aliens against, like he said, Brock Lesnar would be up there. I would put Danielle Hunter like on that short list as well. Of like, you got to defend us against these creatures or whoever hell is coming at us. I think Danielle Hunter's on my short list.
Danielle Hunter would be a perfect co-star to Arnold Schwarzenegger and Predator.
Yeah, exactly. he would fit in as a perfect just action movie guy. Forno, which one of the free agent additions have you liked? I know Miles probably had some of the same ones you had too, but which ones kind of caught your eye so far?
So let's kind of stay out of the top guys, because I absolutely love the Grenard pick. And I honestly think Grenard fits better for what Flores wants to do than Danielle Hunter. But Danielle Hunter's a better football player. Grenard's got 92 percentile arm length, 34 7/8 inches, and he's incredibly quick off the ball, something Danielle never was. And when you're blitzing as much as Brian Flores wants to do, he wants guys who can get there quick. So I think the fit is better, but he's not Danielle Hunter. And I think we have to understand that those can be two separate and equal things. I loved the Trent Sherfield signing, and it was only a 1-year, $1.79 million deal, $400,000 guaranteed. He's going to compete for wide receiver 3, but he's such a great blocker, a great effort guy, and a special teams maven. You already have Najee Thompson. You put a guy like Sherfield on the other side, and we have no idea if Jalen Naylor's ever going to become anything. There's hope, But that hope kind of went away last year when he was out for, it felt like 9 months with a hamstring injury. So you bring in a guy who's got experience. He was really good with the Dolphins, and he played last year with the Bills. And he, at the very least, you're getting a really good special teams guy and a good rotational player on offense. And at its best, you have a legit wide receiver three. So I thought that value was tremendous. And I was a really big fan of that move.
All right, I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of space here at the end, because this is probably the last time we're ever going to talk about this. Kirk Cousins era. It's officially over. It's done with. He goes to the Atlanta Falcons. I guess, Miles, how will you remember the Kirk Cousins era, and do you think he actually can still probably lift up the Falcons to maybe a playoff run there in that kind of a weaker division, the NFC South?
Yeah, I mean, I would just look at the Kirk Cousins era like I saw it as stability. I think the one thing that Kirk Cousins really brought to this Vikings team and franchise is stability that they hadn't had in a long time. And I think that was a fair thing to do. I think I wasn't the biggest fan of giving a guy 3 years, 84 fully guaranteed in that type of situation. Mm-hmm. But I also saw us coming off the NFC Championship game and all that and being like, hey, we really need to stabilize that and increase the floor of that player, the most important position in football. So I always viewed it as like, he really brought stability and obviously a high level of play. So I don't want to discount. Kirk was always a really good player here. I'll never discount that. But mm-hmm. what it didn't do is we didn't do anything with it. Nothing happened of it. We were supposed to, we weren't consistently in the playoffs. We were the one thing that I'll always remember is with Kirk Cousins, every single regular season game mattered. And I feel like when you look at teams that are consistently good, every single regular season game doesn't always matter. Cause you don't work the Chiefs, the Bills of late, you know, obviously the Patriots, like the regular season is always fun. Like they win their games. Their games didn't truly matter until January. Our games, every single one mattered when Kirk Cousins was here because you needed every single game to get yourself positioned to be a play, even in just playoff contention. And we still weren't even consistently in the playoffs. So that was where my biggest issue lied. It was like we were never consistently a playoff team. Like I always viewed the Ryan Tannehill to Tennessee situation more successful than the Vikings one, even though Tannehill wasn't as good as Kirk Cousins. Their situation was similar. They paid him a lot of money, but they went far. They went to the AFC Championship. They were consistently in the playoffs. We just couldn't do that. So that was my, like, it was great to have that stabilization and to have a guy play at a high level, high clip mark, top 12, top 8, wherever people wanted to put him, I don't really care. Like, that was always good for me, but we just didn't win enough. We didn't do anything consistently enough to be ever be a Super Bowl contender. And so that's unfortunately where I'm always going to, like, remember that.
Fornell, how about you, man? How will you kind of remember the Kirk Cousins era?
Great move, didn't work. And we can talk about the stats. We can talk about like how good Kirk Cousins was for 6 years. You can have a lot of different conversations. Here's the fact. He was brought in as a mercenary to lead this team to a Super Bowl, and he led them to 2 playoff appearances and a 1-2 record. When you were brought in for a specific reason, and you don't even come close to accomplishing it, I really struggle to find any way to call it a success. And it's a little bit unfair to Kirk, but at the end of the day, that's what it was. He was brought in as a mercenary. That 2018 team was seen as, hey, now we have a quarterback. We can go to the Super Bowl. And it was a train wreck. And then 2019, you had almost the same team. You change offenses. Hey, things are a little better, but you still couldn't get over the hump. And then 2020, 2021, okay. And 22, you build around him. He's like, hey, let's make a run. And you falter. 23, he gets hurt. And we'll never truly know. But the early returns on last season were half good, half bad.
Yeah.
It was a worthwhile move that made all the sense in the world that just didn't work. And it was a lot of it was Kirk's fault. A lot of it was the situation. A lot of it was the coaching staff. You can point the blame at many fingers. It didn't work. It was time to move on. And all the best to him in Atlanta. But Atlanta, it feels like the exact same situation the Vikings were in 2018. Hey, if we have a quarterback, we can make something of this team. Hopefully it works for them. But I just
actually feel like
the Tobias Funke meme. It didn't work for them, but it might work for us.
That's a good one. I always viewed it as I feel like there's less expectations with Atlanta than there was with us because we were coming off an NFC Championship game. The Falcons aren't coming off a playoff run. They haven't been in the playoffs for a few years. So I feel like his now bar is just to get them to the playoffs and maybe make some noise. And I feel like ours got to that. Ours started as you need to get to the NFC Championship, Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl. And then it kind of slowly declined into just make a run, try to make a run in the playoffs. And I feel like that just in itself, but I feel like he gets to start the bar a little lower in Atlanta than where it started here.
Well, I'm excited to overreact and completely freak out at the rookie quarterback they draft. So we can just now start that in brand new cycle on Purple Daily on Draft. Every Monday right here on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button for daily Vikings entertainment. We're a little more than a month away still from the first round of the NFL draft. We'll have a little bit more announcements too on extra VIP tickets that we're planning to release for that draft party that is sold out. But appreciate you guys for listening and watching. Hit that subscribe button for daily Vikings entertainment.